Today we have the pleasure to welcome Xiaolu Tan. So Xiaolu is an associate professor at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. He obtained his PhD degree at École Polytechnique in Paris in 2011 and was then assistant professor at University of Paris-Dauphine, where he obtained his habilitation in 2017. His research interests are mainly in stochastic optimal control, mathematical finance, and numerical methods for PDEs and SDEs. And so today, he will speak about some extension of the C1E2 formula and their application in finance and optimal control.
Okay. Oh, thanks very much, Sunil, for your introduction and your invitation. It's a great pleasure to present at this international seminar. So I want to talk about some joint work with Bruno Bouchard from Paris-Dauphine and Grégoire Loupé, and also a PhD student from Hong Kong and Zixin Wang. So we are talking about some C1E2 formula and more importantly, some their applications in finance and optimal control. So let me start by present just recall the classical E2 formula, the classical E2 formula. Okay, we will consider only continuous Smith martingales. Okay, so this X is my Smith martingale, and with this decomposition, the martingale part is M, and the finite variational part is the process A. Okay, so if we have a smooth function U, okay, let's say two function U. Then we know it is well known we can have this E2 formula, and we can identify the martingale part. The martingale part involves only with the first order derivative of the function u in the space variable, and the rest part are finite variational part of u of t. Okay, so E2 formula we are I think it plays a very essential role in the stochastic analysis, okay, and especially in mathematical finance and also optimal control. So I want to give some very basic applications of the E2 formula in mathematical finance and the E2 formula. Okay, I start by first application is about the option pricing and the replication problem. And we consider the financial market with underlying stock is the Bachelier model. So it's under the underlying stock follows the Brownian motion dynamic. And we consider the interest rate is zero. Okay, and we have a derivative. The derivative product, the option payoff is a function of G of B capital T. Okay, and then we know, of course, we know the price. If we want to do the option pricing of this problem, we just take a conditional expectation. We take an expectation. It is already on the risk neutral model because the interest rate equals to zero. And the B is already a martingale, so the price is the expectation of the payoff. And if we consider the expectation value of the payoff function, it is a solution of the heat equation because it's brought the underlying process is a Brownian motion. Okay, and then now we can so the satisfy the heat equation because the value function satisfy the heat equation, and then we can immediately find the replication strategy and also the option price. Okay, so it's enough to apply the E2 formula on the Brownian motion, on the underlying process, the underlying stock process, the Brownian motion, and we can identify the martingale part and also the finite variational part. Okay, but we know that the value function satisfy the heat equation because it's expectation of the Brownian motion. And so the finite variation part, the finite the variation part equals to zero. So we only have the Martingale part. We only have the Martingale part. So if we write the Itô formula from zero to capital T, what we obtain? Because U capital T equals to the with the terminal condition U capital T equals to the payoff function. So the payoff function equals to the initial value U zero plus the integral, the Martingale part. So this Martingale part give us the replication strategy. H is the data hedging strategy. Okay, so this is with Itô formula we can obtain the replication strategy and also the price of the option. Okay, now I consider a second application, a second example in optimal control, and we do verification theorem. So we consider very very simple optimal control problem. We only control the drift part of the process X. Okay, we just control alpha, and we want to maximize the expectation of a reward function, which depend on the control process X and also the control alpha itself. Okay, and it is well known that the value function of this optimal control problem is solution of the Bellman equation. And I just write the Bellman equation here with terminal condition is g of x. And also in the Bellman equation, we have the Hamiltonian, and the Hamiltonian is the maximum of L, then it is a running reward function L, and also A times P. And this P will be replaced by the derivative of the value function in the equation. Okay. And the verification theorem says that, okay, if you want to find the optimal control, it's enough to find the optimizer in the definition of the Hamiltonian. Okay. So the verification theorem says that if we are giving a solution to this Bellman equation, if we give a smooth enough, it's a classical solution to this Bellman equation, and the A hat is the optimizer in the definition of the Hamiltonian. Of course, in the definition, the Hamiltonian is defined as optimization problem, and of course, we will replace this P by the derivative of the solution of the PDE. And then we know that this A hat will be optimal feedback, optimal control. Okay, and to prove this verification theorem is a very easy application of the Itô formula. So we just apply Itô formula on V of T and XT, and we find that V capital T equals to V, and this one is the finite variational part, and this one is the Martingale part. Okay. And then now we just remember dTV plus the Laplace of V is, in fact, is the minus, is because the V is solution to this Bellman equation. Okay. So dTV plus Laplacian of V equals to minus of the Hamiltonian. Okay. So we just rewrite this formula. We just relax this formula and we obtain. Sorry. We just relax this formula. We just obtain the replace this dTV plus half Laplacian by the Hamiltonian here. And we will have minus L here, but we keep this capital L here. Okay. And then we just obtain this formula. And we know from the definition of the Hamiltonian is defined as the maximum value of what is possible alpha. So this term will be positive. So this term will be positive. So we know that V, if we take expectation, so we know this term is positive. If we take expectation, this is a Martingale term will disappear. So V will be bigger than the expectation of this one. We will be bigger than this one for any possible control, for any possible control. And so in this case, V will be the value function. And of course, in particular with A hat, we have equality zero. We have zero here. So in this case, V equals to the expectation of if I replace alpha by A hat by the maximizer of the Hamiltonian, and this equals to zero, and we have equality V equals to expectation of this term. And this proves that A hat will be the optimal control. Okay. For a third example of application, we consider a super hedging problem in your incomplete market, and in particular with uncertain volatility model. So I use a weak formulation on the canonical space. So we consider the canonical space of continuous passes on the interval zero capital T with canonical process X. Okay, and we consider a family of probability measure under which that X is a martingale, X follows a diffusion dynamic. So under probability P, X follows a diffusion dynamic, where the volatility is between A lower bar and A upper bar. Okay, and in this case, we consider. So the model, we say that P is the model for the process X, P is the model for the stock price, and we don't know the exact volatility. So we look at we define the maximum. In fact, we are going to consider the super hedging problem, but we know that we're going to consider the super hedging problem. The super hedging problem is that we're looking for the minimum super hedging cost. So we are looking for initial portfolio value plus this dynamic trading strategy, okay, H, and such that we can super replicate the final value of the portfolio will be greater or equal to the final payoff or P almost surely for any possible probability P. So this informal problem is super hedging problem. And this is where I know that this one equals to the maximum value or about the expectation of the payoff and all possible martingale measure, okay, probability P. Okay, so we know that we can also consider this as an optimal control problem because this is we optimize over P is equivalent to optimize over all possible sigma over the volatility process with this dynamic, and we know that the value function of this maximum optimal control problem is solution of this Bellman equation, where the Hamiltonian is the maximum map involves with the second order derivative of V. Okay, and this is a very classical called pricing hedging duality, because V can be considered by definition V. When we take expectation, we are consider this is my pricing problem. We take a maximum all possible model, and we take the maximum price. And on the right-hand side, this is the super hedging problem. We look at the minimum super hedging cost of for this payoff and all possible model. Okay, and to prove this one again, this is a very classical. We can apply the Itô formula. Okay, there are different ways to prove this one, but one way is to use the Itô formula. We can apply, if the value function V is smooth enough, we can apply Itô formula to obtain this martingale part and this finite variation part. But we know that this final variation, but dTV plus the Hamiltonian equals to zero. So dTV, so this part we should be. Should be negative. This part should be because dTV plus the maximum value equals to zero. So it's plus any value, it will be negative. Okay, so because we satisfy the Bellman equation. Okay, so it is less or equal to this part. So immediately we see that if we apply the trading strategy with the initial wealth V0 and with the dynamic trading strategy DV, and we can super replicate this G and for any possible probability P, we obtain this super hedging strategy. And there is another easy weak duality which says that we can obtain the inverse inequality to say that we should have this equality, and this dV is the super hedging dynamic. This H should be given by dV. Okay, so there's some I just give some three examples of applications to the basic applications of Itô formula. Now I'm just on to talk about some extension of the Itô formula. First extension is for path dependent functionals. Okay, this quote which you use is Dupuy's notions of derivative. So for path dependent functional, we consider a function depend on space of paths. So we can take the space of all right continuous left limits paths. And the function is defined on the space of paths. Okay, so this is notion by Dupuy on the horizontal derivative. So basically is to replace the derivative with respect to time variable. And the vertical derivative is a notion to replace the derivative with respect to the space variable. Okay, for the horizontal derivative, the idea is to change the time variable and also fix freeze the path up to time t. For the vertical derivative, the idea is to shift the value of omega t. So this notion says that we don't change the value of the path before time t, but we only change the value of the path at time t. And then we take the limit of x to define the first order vertical derivative. And similarly, we can define the second order vertical derivative. Okay, so there is a notion. Okay, so with this notion of derivative, and we can obtain an extension of the Itô formula for the path-dependent functionals. Okay, so we can obtain again, this part is the finite variation part, and this part is Martingale part of this in this decomposition. Okay, just to mention that this kind of derivative has been introduced by Dupuy, and also this Itô formula has first rigorously established by Ramagant and Fournier. And also, of course, this is very closely related to immediately to the path-dependent PDE. Okay, so there are many people study the path-dependent PDE. We use this path-dependent Itô formula. Okay, another extension of the Itô formula is about on the functional of marginal distribution of semi-martingales. Okay, so this has been first introduced in the paper of Luna and Juan and Bang and Luna. Okay. And it's motivated by study the marking velocity dynamic and also being used a lot in the mean-free game theory. Okay, so I just present this value because I'm going to I take this value with sigma is a constant to simplify the Itô formula. Okay, but I consider the conditional distribution of the conditional marginal distribution of this semi-martingale. So I consider a very simple, a special semi-martingale with constant volatility. Okay, I take B as a common noise. So low T will be the marginal distribution knowing the common noise B. And in this case, we there is also a notion of a derivative. So we take a function which a functional defined on the space of measures. Okay, we take it. So low E will be a probability, take a value in the space of probability measure space. Okay, for this kind of functional, we can still introduce the notion of derivative and then. And we can obtain Itô formula. Okay, so this part is the finite variation part, and there is a Martingale part for this one. Okay, and okay, so and we see that this involves on the second order derivative of the value function with respect to the measure. Okay, so our motivation to look, our main objective is to look at the C1 ETO formula. And in fact, our motivation is to we study some kind of financial programming, financial and optimal control. And we find that we want to apply the ETO formula, but it's in general, it's difficult to check the required regularity of the value function, and we are not able to apply the ETO formula. And then we look at or is possible to obtain some ETO formula or similar formula which requires less regularity. Okay. Before that, I just mentioned, and in fact, this is good because we just mentioned that for the all this ETO formula on the Martingale part, you only need to find the first order derivative of the value function. And also for the participant functional ETO formula, also for the Martingale part, you only need to know the first order derivative of the value function. Okay, so finally, we look at this ETO, C1 ETO formula, and based on the ETO characters, we are regularization, and this has been developed by a series of people by Francisco Russo and Valois, and of course there were courses, many of their courses. They have de developed this kind of ETO calculus. They defined the integral of a process H with respect to X by this limit. And of course, whenever this limit exists, and they define this way. So they look at the integral of H and X S plus epsilon minus X S DS, and of course, again, divided by epsilon. And then this is DX, this is DX. And finally, if the limit exists, they define this as if the limit exists in the sense of UCP, and then defined as the integral, and similarly, they defined the quadratic variation of the process if this limit exists. So in this one, there is only DS appear, and only DS appear. And in particular, when X and Y, they are both Smith-Martingales and the right continuous left limit Smith-Martingales, and if H, the integral and the H is also Cadillac, and in this case, of course, adapted, and then they can show that all of this are well defined, and they are the same to the classical, to the usual ETO integral, and to the usual quadratic variation. Okay. But it can be defined for more general process. Okay. And for more general processes, they call it the weak Dirichlet process. Okay, the weak Dirichlet process is defined as this way. So a weak Dirichlet process, if we have this decomposition as a Martingale part, a local Martingale part, and also a part, the orthogonal process, they call it Martingale orthogonal process A. So a Martingale orthogonal process A, just take any continuous Martingale N, and you look at the co-quadratic variation. So the co-quadratic variation is defined here. You just look if it is the co-quadratic variation of A with respect to any continuous local Martingale or continuous Martingale, the co-quadratic variation equals to zero, and they call it the Martingale orthogonal process. And in the only literature, they call it a weak zero energy process. Okay, but in more recent terminology, literature, they call it Martingale orthogonal. So this is orthogonal to any Martingale, any continuous Martingale. Okay, and for continuous process X, such kind of decomposition is unique. Okay, and of course, we look at for any semi-Martingale, if you have a Martingale part, if you have a variation part. But we know that for finite variational process A, it is orthogonal to any continuous Martingale. So any Smith-Martingale is a weak Dirichlet process in particular. Okay. And then they can give a C1 ETO formula. Just take the formulation in your paper by Cozzi and Russo. Okay, so they say that if you have a weak director process in the of continuous weak director process, and you have a functional f which is only C1, okay, and then the f of x is still a weak director process, and then the Martingale part will be given by the first order derivative of f is on the space variable, and the dm m is the Martingale. So we can identify the Martingale part. And also the gamma is the weak the orthogonal process part. Okay. So for the if F is more smooth, if F is C2, and we can write gamma explicitly is integral, is a finite variation process. But in this setting, if we don't have regularity, enough regularity of F, we just know this gamma is orthogonal, is orthogonal process. Okay, so we have worked on this one, and we have noticed that in fact, in many of the applications, as I mentioned before, we don't really care too much about what is gamma. We don't need an explicit formula for this gamma. What we care is the Martingale part of this in the Itô formula. And for this case, we know that the C1 Itô formula will be enough. And of course, we make some extension. So we first work on this on the extension for the path dependent functional. So for the path dependent functional, if we use Dupuy's vertical derivative, and we can write if f is just the C1 and under some technical condition, and basically we know that it has the Martingale part and also orthogonal part. Okay. And we are going to see later we can apply this one. Our initial motivation is to look at the pricing and the hedging and the super hedging problem of path dependent options. Okay. A second extension of the C1 Itô formula we have worked recently is on the functional depend on the depend on the marginal distribution of Smith martingales. So we consider a functional which depend on y is a weak director process, and this depend also on m. So we are defined that we are consider Smith martingale x. We will consider Smith martingale x, and we consider the conditional distribution, the conditional distribution of the Smith martingale. So X is a Smith martingale, which has A is a finite variation part, the martingale part, and the common noise part, okay, or continuous Smith martingale. So for this M, this is the marginal conditional distribution of the Smith martingale. And also Y is a weak director process. So comparing to the classical C1 Itô formula, in this paper of Cozzi Russo, and what we have is we have additional MT here. And also then under the C1 assumption, under the C1 condition, and we can extend this C1 Itô formula. We obtain the Martingale part. So the first term is the Martingale part from the weak director process of Y, from the Y process is classical one. Okay, the second term comes from the marginal distribution of M, the marginal conditional marginal distribution of M. Okay, so this is and plus some orthogonal part of gamma. Okay, so this simplify. This is consistent with the Itô formula along conditional measure, conditional marginal distribution of Smith martingale. So in this classical, when F is C2, we have this martingale part, we have this martingale, because it only depends on law on the marginal distribution. So we have this martingale part, and we have this finite variation part in all settings will be orthogonal part, also Martingale orthogonal part, but we don't know because F is not smooth enough. Then we just know it is orthogonal to any Martingale. We don't know its explicit formula. Okay. Okay, and then for the proof, I think the proof or contribution on the technical proof is not so important. So because it's basically the same proof as in the previous in the classical papers for classical C1 E2 formula. So the idea is just that we take a gamma because we want to prove F equals to this martingale plus this martingale plus or second part. So the idea is to just define gamma as the difference of F minus this martingale minus this martingale. So we define this gamma as F minus one martingale and minus the other martingale. And then the other step is to check that this gamma is martingale or orthogonal. Okay, so we just take any continuous martingale and we remember the definition of the quadratic variation and we just take this, we look at this limit and we need to prove that this limit equals to zero. But then basically it's kind of, you just need to be careful to handle all the convergence. So it's not surprising. We just need to be careful on the exchange of limit and the integral and in many places. I will skip this technical proof. I think it's more interesting to look at the applications of the C1 E2 formula. And I want to mention that, and in fact, when we have this, in many of the applications of the E2 formula, what is count is the martingale part. What we really care is the martingale part. We don't care too much about the finite variation part in the decomposition in the E2 formula. And in fact, in this case, the C1 E2 formula is already enough and it requires less regularity. And in fact, maybe in the classical setting, in the Markovian setting, the regularity is not a big issue because we can do regularization and we have different techniques to obtain to ensure the enough regularity. But for the path dependent functional and also for the functional defined on space of measures, it becomes more difficult to check the C2 regularity. And in this case, it's maybe more useful. But for the application and to simplify the notation, and I still present the application in the Markovian setting, in the classical setting, and all of these applications can be immediately extended to the path dependent setting and also to the Markin-Razov setting with all extensions of the C1 E2 formula. Okay, so let me start by this first applications on the option pricing. So we just remember the our Bachelier model, or Bachelier model where the underlying stock is a Brownian motion and the value function is just the expectation of the payoff. So in fact, we know that the Brownian motion, for the Brownian motion, it can regularize everything. So we know that if we define U as the conditional expectation, as expectation of function of Brownian motion, and we know that U is C2, is very smooth, okay. But they assume that this, of course, then we know that if we are just replace this Brownian motion by any martingale, and this will not be the case. But the argument is still true. The argument will still be true. And we can also consider the more general setting, path dependent setting, for example. Then for the path dependent setting, there is more regularization by the Brownian motion, okay. But here we know that this assumption is not necessary. Okay, it's necessary. We just look at it. So if this U is just C1, then it's enough to do the replication. Why is it enough to do the replication? Because first we know that it's defined as a conditional expectation. So U of T and BT is a martingale. Okay, so we know already U of T of BT is a martingale by the definition because it's defined as conditional expectation. And secondly, we know that if it's C1, then we can apply the C1 E2 formula. Okay, we apply the C1 E2 formula, we can identify the martingale part, and we know there is some gamma, there is a martingale orthogonal part. Okay, and this decomposition is unique. As soon as this is a continuous weak iterator process, this decomposition is unique. Okay. So this Kikumoto is unique. This means that this gamma is necessary be zero. Okay, it cannot be a Martingale and Martingale orthogonal. Okay, so I know that. So this Martingale part should necessarily be this one, and the gamma and the U is a Martingale, so gamma is necessary to be zero. Okay, so if gamma is zero, so this one says we have the replication. If we replace this T by capital T, if I replace this T by capital T, and this one gives immediately the replication. This is my replication cost, and this is my dynamic trading strategy for the replication. Okay, so in this case, C1 into formula is already enough. And of course, for the Boring motion, we can have C infinity property for the value function. But if I replace B by any Martingale, and this is where the linearization will not be true anymore. Okay, so this is a very easy application. Now I just look at the last the third equation, the third application, and then I will go back to the second application. So the third application is about the super replication problem on the incomplete market. So we look at this we look at this problem why the minimum the super hedging problem. Okay, we look at the minimum super hedging cost. So this is dynamic trading, my portfolio to super hedge this payoff, and we look at the smallest super hedging cost, and we are going to prove this equality. We are going to prove this equals to the maximum value of the expectation of the payoff and the all possible Martingale measure. And this Martingale measure, it says that under this is a probability P on the canonical space of continuous passes, and under this probability P, under the canonical process X follows a diffusion process, follows a diffusion dynamic where the volatility is between two constant, where the volatility is between two constant. Okay. So we're going to apply the Itô formula to prove this equality. So first, there is a weak duality. We call this a duality problem because this is a maximization problem and this is the minimization problem. And then the weak duality says that this V will be less or equal to this one. So V will be, this is easy because you just take expectation and then you will see that the expectation Y will be bigger than the expectation of this one. So any Y in this set will be bigger than the expectation of G and will be bigger than V. This is the weak duality. So what is difficult is the reverse inequality here. And we can apply the C1 into formula. Okay, so first we know that we just recall V is defined as the value function of optimal control problem. We control the volatility. So it's equivalent to control the volatility between two constant. This is defined as an optimal control problem. And we apply the C1 Itô formula. We apply the C1 Itô formula and we can identify the Martingale part is X Martingale part of in the Itô formula. Okay, because under any probability P in this M, X is a Martingale. Okay, is a diffusion process with volatility sigma. So this is the Martingale part. And then we know that we have some orthogonal part. We have some orthogonal part. Okay. And now the other information what we have is that if we look at V of TXT, and we know that it is a super Martingale. This is a super Martingale under any PB. This is the dynamic programming principle. The dynamic problem says that VT equals to the maximum value of expectation of VT plus delta T. So this will give the dynamic programming principle gives us the super Martingale structure of the value function. So if V of TXT is a super Martingale, then we know that it has a double Meyer decomposition. So we should have some Martingale part MT. And we have a decreasing process or minus an increasing process. Okay. But for the Bose decomposition, for the C1 Itô formula and the double Meyer decomposition, the two decomposition, they are unique. Okay. So since the two decomposition are unique, we can identify. So this gamma should equals to minus A. And this one should equals to this matching part. This matching part in Dubermeier decomposition equals to the integral of dv dxt. And then we know that this is enough because gamma t, we don't know the exact explicit formula of gamma t, but I know gamma t is negative because A is an increasing process by the Dubermeier decomposition. I know this is almost surely for any p. Okay, so this is negative. So we obtain this inequality G will be superreplicated by this dynamic trading strategy with this initial wealth and this dynamic trading strategy. So again, we see that we don't know, need to know what's the explicit formula of gamma. We just identify with the Dubermeier decomposition. We know it's negative and it's enough to deduce this superhedging duality in this mathematical finance problem. Okay, so of course the real application what we do is we do this in the past dependent case. Okay, we do this in the past dependent case to and this in fact this one is the very initial. If we look at the first paper by Dupuy, he just mentioned that this kind of the vertical derivative can be used for the replication and the superreplication strategy of past dependent options. So somehow we can justify this intuition and the motivation for in this very initial paper of Dupuy. Okay. Finally, I will come back to the second application about the verification theorem of optimal control problem. Okay, I will change slightly. I will turn to the weak formulation of the optimal control problem. So previously, we control a diffusion process. We just control the drifter part. We control the drifter part. Now I just use a weak formulation. So we stay on the canonical space and we control the probability P. So under each probability P, the canonical process has this decomposition. It is a drifter part plus the Martingale part, Martingale part. So this is a weak formulation of this simple optimal control problem. And also similarly, this value function can be we just can be reformulated on this canonical space with this weaker formulation. So in place to optimize over alpha, over all possible alpha, we optimize all possible law of control process. So P is the law of control process. Okay, so this is the current formulation, a weaker formulation of the optimal control problem. And we know that V will be a viscosity solution under very mild condition. V is a viscosity solution of the Bellman equation, the same Bellman equation. Okay, so we take and the unique viscosity solution, and we know that it's a unique viscosity solution. Okay, so we take a unique viscosity solution of the Bellman equation, and assume that this value function, the solution V, is C1, and also alpha is the optimizer in the Hamiltonian. And if we remember that in the definition of Hamiltonian, because the control problem only control the drift, we don't control the volatility. So in the definition of Hamiltonian, this depends only on the first order derivative of the value function. So we don't need the second order derivative. So if V is only C1, this first order derivative already exists. So we can find the optimizer in the definition of the Hamiltonian. And in this case, we can say that this A hat is my optimal feedback, optimal control. It's the optimal feedback control. But of course, we give this result in a weaker formulation. And the idea to prove this one is we use a dual formulation. We use a dual formulation very similar to the superhedging problem. But it's not a superhedging problem. Okay, we consider dual formulation. The first dual formulation is T1 is V plus phi T dxt. Finally, this phi T will be replaced by dV, by first order derivative of dV. It's bigger than G and alpha S, fa plus l. Okay, plus l. And the second one is that we take the supremum over this all possible alpha, and it will become the Hamiltonian. It will become the Hamiltonian. So this is d2. So if we look at this one, we know that the dynamic of dx in the dynamic of dx. So dx, there is a drift part, there is a Martingale part, a Brownian motion part. So this part, there is already the contain or drift part. The drift part of this term equals to this term because dxt equals to alpha t dt. Okay, so the drift part of this term equals to this. And the Martingale part, if we take expectation, the Martingale part of this term will disappear. So this V0 will be bigger than the expectation. After taking expectation, V0 is bigger than expectation of G. This term disappear, expectation of G and plus L. This is the problem. It's bigger than the expectation of this term. Okay, so this one says that we still have the weak duality. This means that V0 will be less to D1. Will be less to D1. This is the weak duality. And the second remark is that this H is bigger than this one because H, by definition, Hamiltonian is the maximum value of this term of this term. So if I can V0, I can supplicate this one. I can immediately supplicate this one. Okay. So D2 will be bigger than D1. Okay. So this we have this we obtain the weak duality. Okay. The most difficult part is the inverse duality. And again, we are going to use the C1 Itô formula. So the idea is, again, we know that V plus the learning reward function is again a super Martingale, is a super Martingale. And then we can have the Dubermeier decomposition. And also we can apply the C1 Itô formula on V and then identify the two decomposition very similar to the previous formula. We obtain this inequality. We obtain this inequality. Okay, so V plus this one is bigger than the final terminal condition and also of this term. In fact, this one is enough to prove to prove the duality. To prove the equality between V0, because in the formulation of D1, we're looking for my phi. In fact, by the C1 Itô formula, we can find that this phi is, in fact, the first order duality of V, because we can immediately, by identifying the Dubermeier decomposition and the C1 Itô formula, we can find this inequality and we can establish the duality. And in particular, because we take alpha hat is the one which maximizes in the definition of Hamiltonian. So this one we are equal to Hamiltonian, and then we have equality. We have the equality, the first, the duality problem. Okay. And the second one is that this is a very, if we are we're familiar with the optimal transport, we look at this is a very similar to the, this duality is very similar to the, so this duality is, very similar to the Kantorowicz duality or in the optimal transport problem. And in the optimal transport problem, we know that if we find the optimizer and the support of the on the support of the optimizer on the support of the optimizer, we should have equality. We should have equality in the dual formulation. Okay, so for this dual for the dual formulation, in the dual formulation, we have inequality. Remember, V0 is bigger than this one. But in fact, on the optimizer, we should have equality almost everywhere. So this somehow is very well known in the optimal transport literature. On the support of the optimizer of the primary problem, we should have equality almost everywhere for the dual problem. And so by this way, we can find that this p hat should be optimized because we have equality here. Because we have equality here, why we have equality? Because yeah, we have equality everywhere. Because V0 we are equals to the expectation. If we take expectation, there is a dxt, there is a drift part equals to this part. There is a martingale part after the expectation which disappear. So we take it. So this V zero will equals to expectation of this one, of the two. And this shows by definition V is the maximum value of expectation. So this alpha p hat will be the optimizer, will be the optimizer. Okay, so this shows that this proves the verification theorem. This optimizer p hat is the optimal control. Okay, so we can apply this one. We can apply. I want to say, okay, I want to finally just okay. I think in 5 minutes I can, in 2 3 minutes I can finish. Just before I want to say, okay, this verification theorem is not new. Or we can do much better if we use the BSD theory to study the. We know if because the problem only controls the drift part, so the value function is solution of the BSD. If we use BSD theory, we can prove this verification theorem in your very general, in a much more general setting. So what is in this setting? This is not interesting. What is interesting is to look at this Makin-Razoff optimal control problem. And for this Makin-Razoff optimal control problem, if we control just the drift part, okay, for simplicity, we still assume that the sigma is a constant, sigma zero is a constant. Okay, so we maximize the reward value, which depends on the marginal distribution, conditional distribution of X, knowing the common noise. Okay, so in this case, finally, our last theorem is that if the value function, now the value function is defined on this is the V of defined on the space of measure of probability measures. Okay, and if this one is C1 and satisfy some gross condition, and then the optimizer in the definition of the Hamiltonian, and again in the definition of Hamiltonian, we see that it depends only on the first order derivative of V with respect to the measure variable, and we can show that this gives the optimal feedback, optimal control as a verification theorem. And so in this setting, there is no BSD theory, and this proof could be useful. Okay, and just the last slides, I just want to say that now we look at the regularity of the. So we look at this the regularity of the. We have studied the path-dependent problems, and we also studied the Makin-Razoff optimal control problem, and we are interested in how to check the regularity of the value function. For the regularity of functionals on the Wachenstein space of probability measures, I think there are some examples. I think under very some convex function under some convexity condition, you can check the regularity of the value function in the control setting, therefore the Makin-Razoff optimal control problem. And for general, we don't understand very well. We don't understand very well how to obtain the required regularity. But for the path-dependent function now, I think we understand a little better. We understand a little better, and we have our first paper on the approximation method to check it. So in your first paper with Bruno Bouchard, and we look at the path-dependent PDE, a class of path-dependent PDE. We use the approximation approach to obtain the derivative, the regularity of the solution of nonlinear path-dependent PDE. Okay, and more recently, sorry, this already. So I prepared the slides some months ago, but now we already submitted the paper on the ICAF. So we have recently worked on also on the parametrics method for the path-dependent PDE, and for a class of path-dependent PDE. But in this case, it's a linear case for the linear a class of linear path-dependent PDE. And we can use parametrics method. So the parametrics method has been used a lot in the classical literature for PDEs. And we just look at this for path-dependent PDEs, and we obtain some regularity condition for the solution. Okay, so I will stop here. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much, Xiaolu, for your very nice talk.